The current crisis is rooted in part in the desire for self-determination. South Ossetia and Abkhazia have sought independence from Georgia, and before that, Georgia sought independence from the Soviet Union. To give you some perspective now, we're going to turn back the clock with the help of the BBC's Central Asia specialist, Jenny Norton.
In 1989, the Soviet Union was already beginning to come to an end. People were beginning to ask themselves what it actually means to be a Georgian, say, to be a Russian. So the Georgians were thinking very much about nationalism, about wanting to make more use of their own language, which made the two smaller ethnic regions, the Abkhaz and the South Ossetians, which both speak their own languages, feel slightly nervous and feel perhaps it was time for them also to think a bit more about self-determination.
All right, let's get back to Georgian independence then. In Tbilisi, the capital of Georgia, 1989, it was actually April 9th of 1989, there was a protest, a demonstration for independence from the USSR. We're going to hear now an unnamed protester who was speaking at that event.
I'm very excited, like every Georgian, because we are struggling for the independence of our country, of Georgia.
Jenny, what happened at that protest?
What happened is that the Soviet army sent troops in to quell the protesters, and 9 people were killed. It was a moment at which Georgians decided that they no longer wanted to be part of the Soviet Union, and they were determined to reclaim their identity as Georgians within their own republic.
And that didn't go over well with the Soviets. Here, in fact, is the Soviet Foreign Minister Edward Shevardnadze speaking the next day, giving his assessment of what happened.
Those who gathered at that square, they were a very violent crowd. They were asked to disperse, and they failed to follow the orders, and that's what happened. It was a very unfortunate encounter.
It was a hugely shocking moment for Georgians. In 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Georgia declared independence, and a nationalist leader called Zviad Gamsakhurdia became Georgia's first president. So the demonstration in April 1989 was just such a focal point, and really Gamsakhurdia, when he came to power on a wave of nationalism.
Bring us to 1994. Russia's President Boris Yeltsin made his first state visit to Georgia. He signed a major treaty, in fact, with the Georgians. We're going to hear now from Edward Shevardnadze. This is something interesting. We just heard from him criticizing the demonstrations that happened way back in 1989 among Georgians. Now, at this point, in 94, he's a Georgian leader. Let's hear from him. So one of the things he's saying here is, for the first time, unlike in the past, these two countries are coordinating their strategic aims and interests as two equal and independent states. How did it happen that this man went from being an opponent of Georgian independence to the Georgian president?
Well, an awful lot happened in those few years, not least of all civil war inside Georgia, when the first president, Gamsakhurdia, was ousted from power. Shevardnadze returned, took over. Pretty soon after that, Georgia was plunged into yet another war with Abkhazia, as the Abkhaz saw their chance to break away from Georgia. And it wasn't actually until May 1994 that a ceasefire agreement was actually signed.
Okay, but Shevardnadze, was he or was he not Russia's puppet at that point? Because he gave Russia the right to keep permanent military bases in Georgia.
I wouldn't say that he was Russia's puppet. I think it was more a matter of expediency, that this was a war in Abkhazia. It was incredibly brutal, a war that Georgia didn't need and a war that Georgia couldn't win. Basically, the Georgians were fighting against Abkhaz forces backed up by the Russian military.
All right. Boris Yeltsin, the president of Russia at that time, said that it was imperative that the two countries, Georgia and Russia, cooperate in settling the conflicts in these regions, Abkhazia and South Ossetia.
If we do not regulate properly the situation in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, then there will be difficulties in the development of our future relations. Georgia must grant a definite political and legal status to Abkhazia and South Ossetia.
Was that definite political and legal status ever granted to Abkhazia and South Ossetia?
No, they've basically been in what some people refer to as a state of frozen conflict. In the meantime, we've seen lots of Russian peace troops in both South Ossetia and Abkhazia, and many people would say that it's difficult for them to be neutral and not to support one side against another, and that's something which the Georgians have been arguing for some time.
Let's go now to 2004. Georgia's President Saakashvili held out a hand of reconciliation to South Ossetia and Abkhazia.
We need to create an attractive economic model for Abkhazia, and that's the way to go. With regards to South Ossetia, it's a very, very small problem, and I think it's a matter of just negotiating with local small group there to make a deal.
A very, very small problem. Certainly it's not the case right now. Jenny Norton, I want to get your assessment of what has happened in the past couple of days, and also why, if these two regions have caused so much friction, why is it that Georgia doesn't simply say South Ossetia, Abkhazia are yours, can be under Russian control? How come?
Well, I think President Saakashvili, from the moment that he took over in his Rose Revolution in 2003, promised Georgians that he was going to sort out Georgia, and one of the main things he was going to do was to restore the country's territorial integrity. The tragedy of this situation now is that in some ways we're in an even worse situation now than we were in 1991. We now have another round of conflict, more deaths, more bitterness, and it's going to be a very long, slow and painful process to try and get the South Ossetians, the Abkhaz, the Georgians and the Russians around the table again and try to work out how on earth they're going to find a way forward out of this.
Jenny Norton is a Central Asia specialist with the BBC. You can read a lot more about the history of the region, see photos, maps and more at theworld.org.